You're listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. And yeah, Stevie Wonder and Isn't She Lovely that he wrote around the birth of his daughter. Our children are precious to us. They are. And when I was in nursing school, you had to stand in line to work in pediatrics. We knew that if you wanted pediatrics, you first had to work in medical surgical nursing. You could not step into a pediatric unit without that experience, and you would have to wait to work in pediatrics. But that was over 50 years ago. Today, primary care services in the Catskill region are limited, and pediatric providers, whether a pediatrician or a pediatric nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant, are in short supply, and not just here, but across the country. Well, one pediatric nurse practitioner is sounding the alarm about this issue, and I'm really delighted to have her join me today on Health Center in the Catskills to talk about it. Dr. Rajashree Kopalolu is currently the manager of advanced practice professional development for Stanford Medicine Children's Health, and she has held advanced clinical roles in pediatric general surgery and cardiology as a pediatric nurse practitioner. She's a past president of the National Association of Pediatric Nurse Practitioners, which we refer to as NAPNAP, and she's a fellow in the American Academy of Nursing. She's an example of the kind of person that we have in the academy, and you just heard from Deborah Barksdale, the president of the American Academy of Nursing, talking about how the fellows in the academy really are the cream of the crop. And my next guest is one of those people. She's also a senior fellow at the Center for Health Policy and Media Engagement at the George Washington University School of Nursing, where I hold an appointment and have had the privilege of working with Dr. Kopalolu. In February, she published an article for Medscape titled Growing Shortage of Pediatric Healthcare Workforce. And here to talk with us about it is, she goes by Raji, so I'm going to call her Raji. And Raji, thank you for joining me today on Health Center in the Catskills.
Thank you so much, Diana. Thank you for having me. I look forward to our conversation.
So tell us a little bit about, you're passionate about pediatrics. Tell us a little bit about your own journey to get into this part of healthcare.
I am. And, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I really never wanted to do anything else but work with children. It was a very organic process for me. I remember when I was in elementary school, I loved the people around me that were taking care of children, no matter their role. I loved my school teachers. I remember my school nurse, that I realized how fortunate I was to have a school nurse at our school at the time, my pediatrician, my local librarian. All of these people that were helping take care of children in different ways, I really admired. And when I got into high school, we had a community service requirement, I remember, and I just gravitated toward the experiences that involved taking care of children, whether that was tutoring, summer camp volunteering, working at my local children's library, my local hospital where I was born in my community. And when I went to my undergraduate studies at Tufts University, I studied biology and absolutely loved the sciences, as well as child development. And I had two very critical experiences at that time that really propelled me into this career in pediatrics and pediatric nursing. And the first was that I was very lucky to study abroad in London for half of the year. And I remember traveling to Geneva, Switzerland, and seeing the headquarters for the World Health Organization. And it was a rainy day, I remember, and my friend and I saw a museum that we thought, well, let's go in and see what's there. And it was a museum for the Red Cross. And I remember walking into the lobby and turning to the right, and there was this extraordinary exhibit about the global impact of nursing. And I just spent hours reading all these stories of these incredible nurses around the world that were doing this amazing work, and I really became quite inspired. And when I came back from that trip, I was really lucky the summer before my senior year to be part of a pathway program. And pathway programs are this really wonderful opportunity for undergraduate students to be able to learn more about different career paths, in this case within healthcare. And it was there that I met, since I had an interest in pediatrics, they had placed me on a pediatric neuro-oncology unit. And I met an incredible pediatric nurse practitioner who I watched her work and the way she was leading teams, caring for children, educating patients. I was blown away and she truly inspired me. And that was really the reason and the experience that I ended up then going into my education to become a nurse and then a nurse practitioner.
Well, it's a great story. You also have told me that your pediatrician had an influence on you.
Yes, yes, very much so. I just remember I wasn't one of those kids that didn't like going to see her. I just loved the office. I loved being there. I loved the staff. And I didn't know it again at the time, but I realized what an incredible impact she had on my life and caring for me and making sure that we were safe and taken care of. And I just realized that could potentially be an avenue I would take.
So tell us about the state of pediatric care in the United States today. It's not a very good picture.
It isn't, unfortunately. It's not. You know, we are seeing some really significant changes in pediatric health care over recent years. I think one of the things that's most concerning is the number of children that have chronic illness and chronic disease. So 40% of school-aged children and adolescents have a chronic health condition, and these are things like asthma, diabetes, autism, amongst many others. And as a clinician, we know that these children not only require lifelong management of their condition, but for a child, these types of illnesses can significantly impact their emotional health, their school performance, their social life, not to mention the stress that it can place on families who are trying to navigate the healthcare system and their treatment plans and school accommodations. And so there's a significant need to help make sure that these children have access to care and the providers that can help take care of them. So that's one very concerning issue. Mm-hmm. The second that we are continuing to learn so much more about is the state of mental health and mental health conditions in children. Now we have about 20% of all children that have an identified mental health condition. And that increases to nearly 40% by the age of 18. And unfortunately, we just don't have access to the clinicians that are there to be able to provide care. And this has really led to a national emergency that's been declared for youth mental health.
So tell us about that shortage of clinicians. Why? I mean, given where I was in school and you had to wait in line to get into pediatrics.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And workforce researchers over a decade ago had predicted that even if we didn't change the demand in the need for care for children or didn't change the shift in any provider production, we would still have a gap in pediatric practitioners and the supply that was going to be needed to take care of kids. And we have realized that today. And we're seeing this across all health sectors. So in medicine, medical students aren't necessarily choosing to go into pediatric residencies. Pediatric residents aren't necessarily choosing to go into pediatric subspecialty fellowships, or they're disparately choosing certain specialties so others go unfilled. And especially in rural communities, we're very concerned about the lack of specialists that those children have access to. And nursing, it's really incredible because nurses make up the largest group of healthcare professionals, as you know. I think there are over 5 million nurses in our country, and yet only less than 10% of those nurses are working in pediatrics. And so we simply just don't have enough pediatric nursing professionals to take care of children, not just in hospital-based settings, but in community health, home health, and other places. And as a pediatric nurse practitioner, our overall advanced practice nursing workforce is expected to grow quite substantially and has in recent years, but the number of pediatric-specific nurse practitioners is very low, and there's a critical shortage of PNPs now. And similarly with our physician assistant colleagues, with less than 2% of PAs directly working with children. So there is significant.
So why is this happening, though? We know some pediatric nurse practitioner programs have closed. I'm assuming that's from low enrollments. Mm-hmm. What else is contributing to this?
Well, I think that unfortunately over time, we really have just not invested in the people and the systems that take care of children. I always like, when I'm ever giving a lecture to students, I always poll the audience and say, do we actually know how many children there are in the United States? And I think most students are quite shocked to know that there are nearly 74 million children in the U.S. That's about 22% of our entire nation's population. And even in the state of New York, that's very similar as well. About 20 to 24% of the state's population are children. And yet only about 9% of all healthcare spending is actually directed toward children. And so we've sent this message, I think, unfortunately, that the people and the systems that take care of children are just not being invested in. And it sends a message, unfortunately, that children are undervalued in some way.
And are so to what extent are payment models an issue here? Do pediatric clinicians get paid the same as people who provide adult care?
They do not. They do not, unfortunately. And we're very lucky to have programs like Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program that cover about 37 million children, so almost half of the population. But children only account for about 15% of that total spending. So even though we have a lot of enrollment in programs like this that are intended to improve access to care and to providers, the investment is really suboptimal. And so Medicaid can cover 40% of births, 14 million children with special health care needs. More than half of children's hospital patients are typically covered under Medicaid and CHIP. But payments to those providers and healthcare systems are nearly 30% below what payments go to Medicare. So the lower payment rates absolutely do discourage, I think, people from entering the field. And they don't allow for healthcare systems to operate. They're operating on very tight financial margins, which is quite challenging.
And CHIP, we should say, is the Child Health Insurance Program that actually started in the model was in, I believe, from New York. And then it's now national. But it's a really essential program for covering care for children. This program comes from a rural area, and we have an aging population here. And so I think there's another issue here of it just being quite challenging for healthcare organizations, hospitals, primary care practices to be able to, well, or specialty practices in particular, to be able to provide pediatric services if you can't fill your schedules up, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And it's been interesting to see that in rural communities, we saw also a lot of changes in those practices and healthcare systems, especially after the pandemic. We saw a lot of reductions just for the ability for these units to function that take care of children, closing. Pediatric inpatient units in rural communities are closing at a rate, you know, 7 to 8 times higher than adult units. Those units get lower reimbursement. There's a lot of variability in the season in taking care of children, and it's been hard to sustain staff in those settings, especially in rural communities. So we have a lot of work to do to ensure especially our children in rural and underserved areas have access to care.
And so if you're in a rural area and you have a child who needs specialty services, you're likely going to be traveling large distances to be able to get that care. And for a county like ours that has a high rate of poverty, that means sometimes that children go without the care they need.
Yes, exactly. And there's a lot of data now to suggest with all of these specialty areas, families are having to travel 80, 90, 100 miles to reach the nearest specialist. And to your point, we know that health disparities are very much a part of that. So if families don't have safe housing, transportation, food security, all of that can certainly compound not only their child's health, but their ability to get the care they need.
So let's talk about what you can do about this. And the first thing that comes to my mind is we need to really use telehealth more if we're in a rural area, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that telehealth is a wonderful example of an innovative care model. And we learned so much about the value that telehealth can provide, especially from the pandemic when we were really trying to expand our footprint to children and all patients that needed access to care. So I think one strategy we have to think about is what are innovative and different ways that we can really think about offering healthcare to children, whether that's through telehealth, whether that's through school-based healthcare settings, whether that's with greater partnership between our specialists and our primary care providers in these communities, and really understanding where those gaps are, where those shortages are, so that healthcare systems can really help support community and rural group. So I think that's definitely one opportunity.
And let me just, you mentioned school-based health services, and that's really important in our region. I want to commend Bassett Health System because they have an outstanding school-based health network run by Jane Hamilton. She's a fabulous nurse. I've had her on this program before, and I know that they were looking to expand to Margaretville School until the administration changed, and then with the cut back, they depend upon Medicaid, and with that cut in funding, I know they put a hold on any expansion of school-based health services, but I'm hoping that somebody just told me that it's back on the table, so I'm hoping that's so. But it certainly is. They're fabulous, the school-based health centers, and they use family and pediatric nurse practitioners and pediatricians, PAs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Our school-based practitioners are extraordinary. They really are. And again, all children, we hope, have access to being able to go to school. They're there every day for their learning. And especially for children with chronic illness, those that may have certain school accommodations that need to be met, I can't think of anyone better than a school-based provider that can really help coordinate and support those children as they go through their education. So I also hope that that funding, and again, yet another example of how important Medicaid and these programs are to support programs like that.
Now, another strategy, I think, is the idea of making sure primary care practices are hiring family nurse practitioners and family physicians. I'm not sure about PAs and whether they have a family specialty focus or not. I would assume they can in their training. But I know that for pediatric nurse practitioners and family physicians, pediatrics is part of the role that they play. They must have some basic primary care level of knowledge and expertise in child health. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're very, very family practitioners, physicians, PAs, NPs. They're wonderful providers that are able to care for children, especially children in the well-child setting where children need anticipatory guidance and injury prevention guidance and following their nutrition and development. And they're very, very important in those primary care and community health care settings. As I stated, though, we do have significant needs of children, whether that's through mental health because of chronic illness, because of all the different subspecialty needs that these kids may have, that we still need to have access to pediatric trained specialists and providers. And one of the things that I am so passionate about and I wrote about in my op-ed was if children are not miniature adults. That is not a phrase that we understand in the world of pediatrics. They have such specific health conditions, physiology, developmental concerns, and so they really, really require the expertise of providers. So I think that part of our goal here is to really collaborate and work with our family practitioners to see how we can support them, and again, those children can be sent to pediatric specialists accordingly.
Raji, what do you tell young people who may want to go into pediatrics? This is, it's not a pretty picture here right now in terms of the supports and the investment in pediatric care. And the, as we said, the pediatric nurse practitioner programs, there, some of them have closed. Mm-hmm. What do you tell people?
Well, I'm really fortunate that I'm in a position to talk to young people about my career path and how much joy and meaning I found in this work. And so I would say in talking to young people to, if you have an interest in potentially working with children in any of these roles in pediatrics, to seek out pathway programs. I was, again, so fortunate to go to one. But even if that's just locally volunteering or talking with other pediatric healthcare professionals in your area to understand a little bit more about the roles that they've taken on in their careers. And I tell them how fulfilling my career has been for me in pediatrics as a clinician, an educator, a leader, a consultant. I've been able to do so many things in this career. And if we can build increased capacity in our workforce, we are truly given the greatest responsibility of ensuring that children grow to become healthy adults that can lead and have meaningful and productive lives. I can't think of anything else that I would want to do with my time. And I think that responsibility is really important. And so collectively, not just myself, I hope we can talk to young people about the options in pediatrics, the joy we find in the work, and the value of how important it is to do this work. And whether or not folks choose to go into pediatrics, just being aware that this is a significant issue is really important.
And just finally, and we only have a minute left or so, is there anything that our listeners can do to really encourage and support more investments in pediatrics so that, you know, even though we're an aging population here, people here have grandchildren, and some of them have them in the region, as well as we're trying to encourage young families to come up here as well. Is there anything the public can do?
Absolutely. Well, I think first, just being aware of so many of the things we've talked about today. But I think some of our greatest partners in this work are the families and caregivers and grandparents of children, whether they are children, healthy children, whether they are children with chronic illness. They can be the ones that can go to legislators, that can go to their community leaders and talk about their journey, their lived experience in taking care of a sick child or raising a grandchild, because their personal testimony, I think, really speaks to how important it is that we understand their needs and the importance of having pediatric professionals and providers. So I hope that they can share their stories with others that can help influence the policies that hopefully can make some difference.
And it may include talking with legislators about investing in educational programs to prepare pediatric nurse practitioners, family physicians, and pediatric physician assistants. It sounds like there's a lot of things that we could do to correct this picture. Well, I want to say that if I had a child, I would want you to be the pediatric care provider. And this person that I'm talking with today is Dr. Rajashree Kapalu, who is the manager of advanced practice professional development for Stanford Medicine Children's Health and a pediatric nurse practitioner extraordinaire. Raji, thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.